Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the gospel reading, especially these verses. Jesus answered John the Baptizer, saying, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased." This is our text. Jesus said, "Let it be so now," that John would baptize him, "for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness." These are the very first words that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Matthew. The first thing he says is about the need for him to be baptized by John, to fulfill all righteousness. You might remember as well that the very last words that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Matthew also have to do with baptism. When he tells his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations." How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The first words that Jesus speaks have to do with his baptism. And the very last words that he speaks have to do with your baptism. What this means is that his public ministry, the things that he came to do during his life on earth, began and ended with baptism. In fact, the very structure of Matthew's gospel shows that baptism is central both to Jesus' life on earth and to the life of his body, the church, to us. And it has to do not only with the command of Jesus, he certainly did command baptism, but it also has to do with his person. It's intimately connected to who he is and to what he does. His incarnation and his baptism go together. Jesus is the eternal Word of God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, as we heard today, coming to the Jordan River, to John, to be baptized by him. So here's the main idea, the big point today. Jesus, the Word, is personally in the water to save sinners. Baptism is what it is and does what it does. For you and for me, because Jesus is in the water. Jesus is in the water, or at least he's on the bank about to get in the water, but John the Baptist doesn't think that's a very good idea. You might have heard that in the gospel reading. John the Baptist would have prevented Jesus from being baptized, and he looks at Jesus and says, "I need to be baptized by you. So why are you coming to me? You don't belong here, Jesus, in this water." If John had his way, Jesus would stay out of the water entirely, not even dip a toe in. Why? Because the water was a place for sinners. That's what John came preaching, a baptism of repentance for sinners. And as John has these sinners streaming to the Jordan River, it's as if he has a sign posted beside the baptismal water saying, "Only sinners allowed in. No admittance for those without sin." John made it clear that this is how and why he administered baptism. For when the people came to him, they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And this is the disconnect that John sees. Here's Jesus. What sin does he have to confess? And we know the answer. Like us in every way, but without sin. These people need a baptism of repentance, but John knows that Jesus has no need of repentance, so he obviously doesn't belong in the water. It makes sense. You can almost hear John's shock and surprise at the idea of Jesus being baptized. John's like, hey, don't bother with the water, Jesus. You don't need it. Surely you've got better things to do than to get in the water with sinners. Shouldn't you be out saving the world or something? And our Lord's reply, but of course, John, that's exactly what I'm doing here in the water. John recognizes rightly, I would say, his own need to be baptized into Jesus, but he can't quite get his mind wrapped around Jesus being in the water. And yet that's the very thing Jesus wants to do. In fact, if you're reading the Gospel of Matthew, it's the very first thing Jesus wants to do, to get in the water with sinners. In fact, he insists on doing it. Now, John isn't the only one who would try to keep Jesus out of the water. I've noticed this over the years, that at times when I look at what various churches teach about baptism, what they say on their websites or on their public statements, they basically do, many of them basically do the same thing. Not that the church denies our Lord's baptism, they don't, and yet they speak about baptism in a way that makes it all about you and not so much about Jesus. For example, quoting from one church website, it says this about baptism: by accepting Jesus as Savior, you have received the free gift of salvation available only through Christ. You have concluded that Jesus Christ's death on the cross is the only thing that can bridge the gap between you and God, which is true. Baptism, they say, does not provide salvation. It is an act of obedience and is a testimony of your decision. We view baptism as an important step in your life as a follower of Jesus. Baptism is an outward expression of following Christ. If you notice what they say, and I bring this out because it's common among many Christian churches, in their view, what matters about baptism is what you do. Accept, conclude, obey, follow. It's not what Jesus does that matters, they say, but what you do. And so while they have baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, they end up robbing baptism of all its power, its benefits, and its gifts, because they rob it of Jesus. Take Jesus out of the baptismal water like that, and all that's left is what you bring in. And in that case, baptism's only as good as your own personal commitment. And I don't know about you, but I find daily that my personal commitment is not the thing that's going to carry me through. Others may miss the point about baptism, yet let's not just point the fingers beyond. We too, in our own way, would keep Jesus out of the water. What do I mean? No, we don't deny the benefits of baptism. But do we not sometimes deny our own sin? Or ignore it? Or make excuses for it? Isn't it the case that we too often have tried to handle sin on our own rather than let Jesus be the one to deal with it? And haven't we each at some point held on to some sins, frequently returned to them, and too easily given in to them? It's as if we tell Jesus, hey, Lord, no need for you to be in the water with me. This sin of mine, it's not that big a deal. I've got it under control. You just stay out of the water and I'll be fine. I'll take care of it myself. Thank you very much. We may try to keep Jesus out of the water. Other churches may try to take Jesus out of the water. John the Baptist may try to stop him from being in the water. But you know, Jesus is pretty determined. He's not so easily turned aside. Jesus answered John. He said, John, move over. Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And by golly, John decided it was okay for Jesus to get in the water. No matter what John says, no matter how strongly a church denies the benefits of baptism, no matter how weakly we struggle with sin, Jesus gets in the water. He gets all the way in. He gets all the way in the water with sinners and their sins. This is the amazing thing. When John says, hey, this is only for sinners, Jesus says, I know, John. That's why I'm here. I'm here to be where the sinners are. I'm here to identify with the sinners in their sins. And I am here to carry it all the way to the cross. He gets in the water with sinners to take away sin forever. He gets in the water with sinners to wrestle that sin away and to put it to death, if that's what it takes. So right here at the beginning of his earthly ministry, to the great surprise and even perhaps the great alarm of everyone, Jesus gets in the water and so identifies himself as the sinner. You might say that day when Jesus was baptized, he confesses all sin as his. Not that he did it, but that he's going to own it. All sin. Every single sin of yours and mine, he confesses as his own. He claims it, he owns it, and not just the sin, but also the guilt and the condemnation and the death and the hell that come with it. Because the Word is in the water, because Jesus is in the water, he removes our sin from us. He works forgiveness, and he rescues from death and the devil, and he does it with water. Holy baptism is a precious thing. St. Paul reflects on our Lord becoming sin for us when he says in 2 Corinthians, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The righteousness of Jesus isn't just his obedience to the law. It's the plan of salvation that God accomplishes in and through Jesus. His righteousness is his innocent suffering, his bleeding, his dying on the cross. For us and for our salvation, he was baptized into death. This is what Jesus does. He gets into the water to take our sin, and he gets out of the water to die on the cross with that sin. You might say that the body of sin hangs on the cross, and it is buried in the tomb. I know we think if we're attuned to God's law, to his commandments, if we're attuned to our own nature, we think that it's the body of sin that we're carrying around. And we just can't get rid of. But the body of sin is there. It hangs on him. And when he rises from the dead on the third day, you know what is left behind in the tomb? You know what doesn't rise with him? Sin. Yours and mine. He has taken it away. When he rises on the third day, that sin is left behind and a new man emerges. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Do you see how baptism, Jesus, death, and resurrection all hang together? They belong together for Jesus and they belong together for you as well. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Because Jesus is in the water, did you catch who else is there? The Father is there. He speaks. The Spirit is there. He descends. The entire Holy Trinity is there in the water, present and active. And so also in the baptism that Jesus gives to his disciples at the end of his public ministry, they are to baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Or you could even say they are to baptize all people into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism that you have received. And if you are not baptized, this is the baptism to which you are invited. It means that Jesus was also there in the water of your baptism. It means that the Spirit was given to you and descended on you at your baptism. It means that because you are baptized, you are beloved of the Father, which is an amazing thing to say. And I know sometimes, especially when we're looking at our own sin, we say, "Who could possibly love this?" And your Father in heaven says, "Oh, but I baptized you. I do love you because your sin has been taken away by Christ." St. Paul said that Jesus is the source of your, or that God the Father is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. It's all there in Jesus. And Jesus is there in the water. St. Paul unpacks the meaning of baptism in his letter to the Romans, which we heard read today. He said, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ is raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." To walk with him in newness of life. To be united with him in a resurrection. It happened to you on the day when you were baptized with water in the triune name because Jesus was there in the water. And this is the upshot of it, the result of your baptism. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes I think we consider exactly the opposite. Sometimes, even though we are Christians and we know what God says in his word, we consider ourselves alive to sin and dead to God, but that's not true. St. Paul tells us, when you walk out these doors today, this is how you should be considering and thinking of yourself. I am one who is dead to sin, and I am one who is alive to God in Christ Jesus, and this is true not because of me, but because of him and what he has done and what he put in the water for me. All because Jesus is in the water. And by his baptism in the Jordan, he sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. And so, dear Christian, whether your baptism was 70 years ago or 2 weeks ago, whether you remember the day that it happened or you were too little to have any memory of it, you can never value your baptism too highly. For the Lord himself has honored baptism by undergoing it, and he has made your baptism into a daily death and a daily resurrection in which you put sin off and he is put on. So strive, dear Christian, to walk in this newness of life in the Son, by the Spirit, to the Father, as a foretaste of the life of the world to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.